offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Good Saturday morning and welcome to another edition of Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com. I'm Tim Miller, joined in studio by Dylan Sherwood. As we bring you another program here on this Saturday morning, got some great guests lined up. We'll visit with Emporia High Cross Country coach Mike Robinson. Dylan caught up with him earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we'll have Mike Kennedy, the voice of the Wichita State Shockers,
mm-hmm.
as Blake interviewed him this week. And, mm-hmm. of course, hopefully we will be able to wrap up the show with another conversation with the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtus. Blake Cripps, by the way, Emporia State with their bye week. So Blake Cripps on his bye week as he's taking a little R&R. And
well-deserved.
Yep, and then he'll be ready to resume the season next Saturday. The Hornets will be heading to Carding, Nebraska.
His weekend, next weekend, will be even busier. He's got the trip to Kearney, then he comes back and the Hornet men, the men's basketball team, opening up their season with an exhibition at Wichita State next Sunday night.
Yep. So, yeah, basketball has the hoop season looms right around the corner with exhibition play.
Mm-hmm.
As, you mentioned Emporia State. We'll have a KU exhibition game, I believe, on the 25th, I think,
Next Friday.
Yeah, so
preseason number one versus preseason number 16.
There you go.
Can't get any better than
that. That's right. That's a heck of an exhibition game right there.
Yeah, so John Calipari gets another shot at Bill Self.
That's right.
And Late Night in the Fog was last night,
last
too.
Last night, yeah. Saw a little bit of highlights from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a regular routine now. Obviously, I think that guy, that's like their 40th year.
I think Bill Self said it was 40 and 22 with him there.
I hate to date myself, Dylan, but I was at the first
you
one.
You were at the first one? Wow.
I was just starting school the first one.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You can say you were a part of a piece of history.
That's exactly right.
I could tell you, in 3 years at KU, I didn't go late night. One, I had other conflicts, but they were for a good reason. That's the reason why I'm in the position that I'm in.
Right.
Because getting those opportunities during college, those reps in college are getting me to where I am now. So,
well, I worked for the Sports Information Office.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I was 4 for 4. I saw all 4 of the late nights
okay.
while I was in school.
Awesome.
So, but, yeah, good time. So, anyway, so obviously football still center stage.
Yep.
Unfortunately for Emporia High, it was just too much running game. From Spring Hill. And, you know, it just seems like it's that one quarter that begins the domino effect. You know, after one quarter of play, it was, what, 7-0?
Yep.
And then next thing you know, Spring Hill puts 3 TDs on the board in the second quarter,
mm-hmm.
and the Spartans down 28-0 at the half.
Yep.
And that was pretty much it. They could just never get anything going. So, unfortunately, the Spartans go down to defeat
mm-hmm.
at the hands of Spring Hill, a team they had never played before in football.
Yep.
But Spartans now 0-7. They'll finish out the regular season next Friday night. Good news is it's a home game.
Yep.
To wrap up the regular season. Junction City, the opponent. Bad news, Dylan, seems like Junction City has kind of figured some things out.
That they have. Coach Randall Zimmerman and company, they've started to figure things out. And they opened Centennial League play against Manhattan, and Manhattan blanked them 52-0. That was the week before Manhattan put 59 on the board against the Spartans, and Manhattan They put 52 on the board last night at Topeka High.
Yeah, Manhattan just been ultra impressive. But, yeah, Junction City, big win last night over Washburn Rural, 17-0.
Yeah.
A surprise.
Washburn Rural was a solid team, and now with Washburn Rural losing last night, Manhattan has clinched at least a share of the Centennial League title with those two teams playing each other next Friday in Manhattan.
Well, it seems to be like it's a regular routine with Manhattan at the top of mm-hmm. the Centennial League in football. In our area game of the week last night, Chase County beat Northern Heights 52-6. The Chase County Bulldogs on a nice run right now. They've won four in a row.
Mm-hmm. And Eric Buckey and company, they're really good right now.
And Osage City continues their winning ways. Big win over Silver Lake last night.
That was 21-21 going into the fourth quarter, and Coach Andrew Gattenbein and company getting two touchdowns there in the fourth quarter. That's a huge win. They were ranked fourth in the media rankings, and Silver Lake was, and Osage was ranked fifth. So, and that's a media ranking that I vote in. So, Tim, I will tell you this, and I will be completely honest, but this last week I gave Manhattan a first-place vote because of just of what I've seen out of Manhattan.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've always been very, very impressive, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Lebo snaps a two-game losing streak. They beat Center Lost Springs last night 60-6.
Good bounce back for Coach Brian Hadley and company.
Burlingame continues to roll along. They hung 96 points on the board last night.
And Jeff Slater and company, man. I talk to him every week, and he loves his football team, and 7-0, and looking to go into the postseason 8-0, as they got I think they got another good challenge coming up. They have Rural Vista coming up next week.
And Madison, a win over Flint Hills, 52-6. Rossville blanks Olpe, 28-0. I think we all knew Rossville was much better than what their early season record indicated.
Mm-hmm.
They played some really good teams in the first 3 weeks.
Definitely.
But now I think they've won four in a row, I think, to go to 4-3 on the year. Madison Valley with the victory last night over Southern Coffee County. Rural Vista defeated Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Dylan, before we take our first break, why don't you go through our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week.
All right. Well, for Emporia High, it's a duo this week. We're going with the doubles team of Peyton Chanley and Kinsley Hines. They making their first trip to state. They go 2-2. They were one match away from, if they would have won their last match yesterday, they would have been playing today, and they would have been able to place that state. But a good season for those two. It was Peyton Chanley's second trip to state, while it was Kinsley Hines's first. So a good run for them. And so we're going with the doubles team of Peyton Chanley and Kinsley Hines as our Emporia Main Street, Emporia High, and I'm going to call them co-athletes of the week for their area. We are going to Burlingame, and Dane Winters. Dane Winters had himself a night last night. And Jeff Slater got this to me this morning. 122 all-purpose yards, 23 rushing, 99 receiving, 4 touchdowns, 20 tackles, and an interception. So Dane Winters of the Burlingame football team are Emporia Main Street Area Athlete of the Week.
Yes, Burlingame stays unblemished at 7-0. Speaking of tennis, just real quick, dealing with Kaylee Keough. She returns to play today. Went 3-1 yesterday. Chance mm-hmm. to finish as high as fifth.
Yes, and unfortunately, she will not improve on her placing last year. She's been nagging an injury, and you know, was able to play at regionals, but she can finish as high as fifth and as low as 12th. But we'll see what she can do. But having another solid performance at state, and she has one more year, and she's trying to be in that top four again and hopefully try to win a state championship as a senior. But unfortunately for Callie, just kind of an injury, just kind of was nagging for her through the course of the season, but she got back at the right time. So,
all right, let's go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, Dylan visits with Emporia High cross-country coach Mike Robinson. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at EmporiaMainStreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Hey, East Central Kansas, Chevy truck season continues at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, and the offers are even better. Get truck season offers on our inventory of new Silverado models in stock. Offers like a 2024 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 with lots of great options right now, only $489 a month for 36 months. Or get a 2025 Chevy Trax Active for only $289 per month for 36 months. Plus, you can get a 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for only $329 per month for 36 months. The truck season savings are great, so don't wait another day. Hurry in for our best inventory in years at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Or you can visit us online 24/7. At longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Payments based on 36-month low mileage lease, 12,000 miles per year, 6,500 cash or trade equity plus TT&L due at closing with approved credit.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The AP rankings for the upcoming men's D1 basketball season have been released. For the second straight year, the Kansas Jayhawks are the preseason's number one team. They're followed in the top five by Alabama, UConn, Houston, and Iowa State. Third-ranked Connecticut has won back-to-back NCAA titles. They're trying to become the first program to win three straight national championships since the UCLA dynasty of the 60s and 70s. The Huskies lost some key players from last year's squad, including Donovan Klingon and Stephon Castle. However, a few standouts did return to school, including Alex Caravan and Hassan Diarra. Regardless of the roster changes, Dan Hurley's program is the team to beat until further notice.
For us right now, it's just like lock in on this three-peat. You know, go get ready to truly make history in college basketball as the first three-peat champion since Coach Wooden, and truly do something historic, and that is not lost on any of us. The enormity of our season coming up is special, so we're excited about that.
Some top-ranked tumbles next on This Week in the NCAA.
Retired or retiring soon? How much money do you need to live comfortably? Retirement Planners of America is here for you. Would you like to have financial peace of mind? Here's how. Step 1. Find out the amount of money you'll need to retire. Step 2. Have a plan to get there. Step 3. Make sure that plan can take advantage of market gains but protect you from market losses. Discover how to do all three with a free consultation at 800-508-6108. That's 800-508-6108.
All investments involve risk, including losses. Past performance does not guarantee future results.
Soccer, a pair of top-ranked teams lost this week. On Monday, then number one Pittsburgh was upset by High Point. The next day, the new number one team in the country, West Virginia, was dominated by Dayton. The 5-1 loss was the Mountaineers' first defeat of the season. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk, driven by longbineauto.com, as we're going to be talking Emporia High cross country today, as the Spartans and Lady Spartans are at league today, hosted by Washburn Rural. And yesterday I was able to catch up with head cross country coach Mike Robinson. Well, Coach, thanks for joining me here, and it's been a good season for you guys so far on both sides, and you've had some good performances all around.
Yeah, we have. Thanks for having me as well. Yeah, it's been a good season. We've seen a lot of progress so far, and headed down the stretch here into the championship season. I'm excited to see what happens.
Let's talk a little bit about the girls' side real quick. You know, Madison Evans, a sophomore, leading the way. Emma Beatty, also a sophomore. And I believe in the last cross-country poll in 5A, you guys were ranked 10th in class 5A. So what does it mean that this group, you know, with a young core, with two sophomores leading the way, how have they just been leaders for you guys?
They've been leaders, you know, on the course and off the course as well, in practice and just – team get-togethers and whatever. So they've been a really nice one-two punch for us. They lead by example. And, you know, we're just working hard on getting our 3, 4, and 5 girls to get up there a little bit closer, close that gap. And we have a pretty solid team.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the others you have back? I know Allison Curtis is back, Bailey Van Sickle as well, Reagan Thompson, and I believe you have a freshman in there as well in the mix.
Ivana Orduno. She's a new freshman this year. But yeah, everyone you noted, no seniors. Well, Reagan's a senior, I guess, but so we're gonna miss her next year. But otherwise, you know, I like who we're keeping.
And what does it mean that this team is capable of doing some good things, and with a lot of them coming back next year as well?
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, I think it speaks a lot for our kids and parents and our, you know, our coaching staff that we kind of keep kids in the pipeline like this and keep developing. That's our whole goal, is just, you know, develop them from day one as a freshman to their last day as a senior.
Let's talk a little bit about the boys real quick. Gideon Lowry is back. Zayden Delgado, a freshman, has really come in and done some good things. And Kaysen Vansickle, another freshman. You know, those have been your top three consistent runners on the boys' side.
Yeah, so boys are pretty young also, like the girls are. So, yeah, it's pretty cool to have two freshman boys up there in our top five. We've got two sophomores also. And then, you know, in Edgar Gomez and Braden Shaw. And then, obviously, Gideon, you know, he's been a strong leader for us. We will miss him next year. But, you know, the guys, again, like you said, with the girls, we just keep developing and have guys step up every year. So,
can you talk a little bit about last week, you know, with El Dorado? Girls were second, boys were fifth. Of course, Madison took third, and Emma was seventh. And then Ivana took 12th, so three in the top 20 had to feel good, too.
Yeah, we've been working hard on that. Like I said, that 2-3 gap between our second and our third runner, whoever our third runner happens to be that week. And we've been putting a lot of emphasis on that in practice the last, well, really all season, but really the last 3 to 4 weeks especially. And we're starting to see that gap come down. I can't remember the math exactly, but I think it would came down about 30 seconds from the meet before to El Dorado. So it's all happening kind of at the right time for us.
I wanted to bring up Madison again, Madison Evans, the sophomore. She had a really good run at Rimrock a couple weeks back and was seventh. You know, what did it mean for her to gain that confidence, you know, especially in a big meet at Rimrock and especially seeing the state course as well?
It was good for her. I will say about Madison, she has never lacked confidence one day since day one. So, yeah, and that's, you know, that's a good example for our other girls. You know, just get out there and get into some big meets and see what you can do and build that confidence. It's very important.
Visiting with Emporia High cross country coach Mike Robinson here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Spartans in Topeka today for the Centennial League Championships hosted by Washburn Rural. And coach, have you guys seen the course that Washburn Rural has before? Has any of these young pups seen this course before?
No. The last time we ran there was 2019, and I think the reason, or maybe 2020, Rimrock was canceled due to COVID, and we took a team up there. So none of these kids have run it. Maybe our seniors, like I say, I can't remember what year we were there. But then before that, the last time was when my assistant coach, when I was coaching her, I think she said 2017 or 18 was the last time we were there. So I don't remember much about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and Coach Cardula, you know, she did some good things for you when she was a high schooler. I remember covering her pretty well, too.
Yeah.
You know, how valuable of an asset is it to have someone who ran for you, you know, help out your program?
Oh, she's awesome. Huge help. You know, of course I've evolved as a head coach over the, you know, the 10 years or whatever it's been since I've had her. But she's, you know, she still knows my expectations, and is able to kind of, you know, lead the kids in that direction as well. So she's just an invaluable piece of the puzzle for us.
And can you talk a little bit about, you know, the program, how you, when you became head coach, you kind of remain consistent and you've had some really solid runners over the years. Just what makes you the coach you want to be in cross country? Because I know you were a runner yourself when you were a high schooler.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to be the coach I want to be. I think it's just a process of just a growth from year to year. I think I'll get closer and closer, but I think if I'm ever the teacher I want to be or the coach I want to be, and I stop having that growth, then I don't, you know, it's probably time to stop at that point. So, I just try to get a little better each year. I try to do different things each year, try them out. At the end of the season, we get together, Caitlin and I, as a coaching staff, and we talk about what worked and what didn't work and ideas for the next year. So it's really, you know, a lot of trial and error, and, you know, listening to other coaches that know a heck of a lot more than I do, you know, Coach Stambro at ESU, and then going to clinics and things like that. So it's just a process of just self-betterment, really.
Can you talk a little bit about how you're able to coach a lot of your cross-country runners who are distance runners during the spring in track?
Yeah, we lose – there are quite a few girls' sports, so girls are kind of, spread thin. But so we lose them to, soccer and swim. But the vast majority do come out for track and run distance for us and middle distance. So it's really good, to not only kind of keep them in that training pipeline, but also to just build relationships with the kids and the families and keep them as part of our program.
What are some of your goals for both of these teams heading the league here today?
Our league is nasty. You got your Manhattan and your Washburn Rural and Junction City who are really, really fast. So this week at practice, we talked about, for those kids who are most likely going to be on our regional roster, I said, hey, let's take this as a dress rehearsal for that. Do all the things you'd normally do. You go out, you leave it all on the course like you're trying to qualify for the state meet. And then, that'll give you some confidence going into the regional week. And then we've got kids who are fighting for a spot on that regional roster. And so, if they want it, they're going to have to earn it. And so going into the league meet, I think it's going to be great for that, because I know we're not going to win it and we're not going to get probably second. It's a tough league. And so I think if we have other goals, I think there are many other ways that we can have a really good day.
And regionals are in Wichita where next weekend?
They are at Brown Thrush Park. It's hosted by Bishop Carroll. Yeah, it's a nice flat course. It's basically a track meet. So we've been there. I think we've been there. I know we were there last year and probably the year before as well. So
what does it mean, some of the sophomores, juniors, and seniors that have been able to run the regional course, they kind of have a good expectation heading in?
Yeah, they should know it very well.
And, of course, state is at Rimrock up there north of Lawrence, and these kids always, see that course at the end of September, so it's a good idea for them to already have seen it and know what to expect for the state meet.
Yep, other than it being a great meet, that's why we go to that Rimrock Classic in September, is because it's the same course that we run the state meet on, and, they know what to expect. There are no surprises. So, they'll be ready to go.
Well, Mike, any final comments before we let you go? And as the postseason is right here, right now.
Yeah, it's winding down pretty fast. So, I'm excited to see what's in store the next couple of weeks.
Well, Coach, thanks so much for the time. And we look forward to seeing what your girls do over the next couple of weeks. And best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you, Dylan.
That is Mike Robinson, head cross country coach at Emporia High, joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll take a break. And when we come back, Blake has a conversation with the voice of the Wichita State Shockers, Mike Kennedy. That's coming up here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com.
Hey, East Central Kansas, Chevy truck season continues at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, and the offers are even better. Get truck season offers on our inventory of new Silverado models in stock. Offers like a 2024 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 with lots of great options right now, only $489 a month for 36 months. Or get a 2025 Chevy Trax Active for only $289 per month for 36 months. Plus, you can get a 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for only $329 per month for 36 months. The truck season savings are great, so don't wait another day. Hurry in for our best inventory in years at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Or you can visit us online 24/7. At LongBineAuto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Payments based on 36-month low mileage lease, 12,000 miles per year, $6,500 cash or trade equity plus TT&L due at closing with approved credit.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area?
Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Home inventory in Emporia continues to be tight. A mortgage pre-approval from Emporia State Federal Credit Union can give you a leg up with sellers, proving you're a serious buyer with the means to purchase a home. With a short phone call to Jared Gurman or Isabel Garcia or easy online application, you can be pre-approved. Tell your realtor you'll be using Emporia State Federal Credit Union to finance your new home. Equal housing lender insured by NCUA, NMLS 424-226.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. We are not that far away from Wichita State basketball getting the season started. And incidentally enough, they're going to be starting with the Emporia State Hornets. So I'll be down at Charles Koch Arena here in a little bit. Always a great time to catch up with the voice of the Shockers, Mike Kennedy. I talked with him earlier this week about the Shocker basketball season and also Wichita State volleyball. Well, Mike, it is always great to have you on. Thank you so much. How is the fall treating you?
Doing well, actually. Yeah, doing really well. Weather's been beautiful lately, so yeah, it's been good so far.
Yeah, it's been a nice week this week. I know that we're hoping that we get a football game day on a Saturday that's not 90 degrees. That would be nice. But for you guys there at in Wichita, I wanted to start with the volleyball team. Coach Lamb's squad 9-9 to this point in the year, about halfway through the season. What are your thoughts and what's Coach Lamb's thoughts on the Shocker volleyball team coming off of the NIVC National Championship last year?
I guess the best way to describe it is that they are still searching for the consistency they want in several areas, but as he has put it, the ceiling may be a little higher than he thought it might be, but unfortunately the floor is maybe also a little lower than he thought it might be. At times they're not doing some things as well as he thought they certainly would, but they've also shown the potential to do some things better. They lost about 75% of their scoring from last year, so the biggest thing has been trying to replace that and get some consistent performances attacking. But that 9-9 record, they played a tremendous non-conference schedule. Last week they went 1-1 and went from 78 in the RPI to 64.
Wow.
They played seven teams in the top 41 of the RPI. So anything could happen for the first time this year. Well, not the first time ever, but they've kind of gone back and forth with having a conference tournament in the American, and there will be one this year, and it's going to be in Wichita. So part of this season is about just continuing to get better and developing and having a chance to win that tournament at the end of the year.
Morgan Stout, I beg your pardon, she's been maybe the consistent thing that he's been able to go to on the offense, hitting .275, leading the Shockers with 184 kills. What's made her such a big part of stepping up to fill that void offensively?
Well, honestly, she was about 8% higher than that last year where she finished, but she is the known quantity. She's the subject of everybody's defensive focus, and so she's got two people in her face a lot of the time, and it's been tough for her to get as many good swings as she would like and the coaches would like. And so it's been a matter for her of kind of figuring it out and kind of looking for opportunities. The match on Sunday that they won in five, she got off to a really slow start but had a lot of big kills late in the match. And so that's kind of been the key for her, is just kind of figuring out when she can take advantage of opportunities that are there. And you know, they've got to look for other people, too, and get more scoring on the outside, which is starting to develop.
Mike Kennedy, the voice of the Shockers, joining me. And now we turn our attention to Wichita State basketball. Of course, the Shockers 15-19 last year in the first year of the Coach Mills era. They finished 5-13 in the AAC. Your overall thoughts on last year's Shocker basketball team as they start to try to turn things back around and return to the very high standard of Wichita State basketball that was not that far removed from Charles Koch Arena?
You know, it was kind of what going to tend to be a typical first season for a lot of coaches. He was hired late enough that there wasn't much chance to really go out and recruit. I mean, they brought some guys in and some guys that helped him, but it wasn't like there was a lot out there by the time he took the job. I'm sure you've had conversations with Coach Billiter about that going into his first year at Emporia State. But I thought they did a good job of coming along, and they lost a lot of close games. That record easily could have been better, and at the end of the year, they won a couple of games in the conference tournament. They lost to Memphis by 26 points at home early in the season. It was one of their first conference games, and Memphis played exceptionally well that night. They ended up taking them to the wire at Memphis, losing on a last-second shot, and then beat them in the conference tournament. And that's just a small sample, but it kind of demonstrates that they did make some improvement. I think he pretty much got the most out of what he had last year, and now he's had a chance to recruit and bring in, you know, some of his own guys that he knows can play the way he wants to play, and certainly they're a much deeper team than they were like a year ago.
Stylistically for the Shockers, what's the kind of style that Coach Mills did not get into last year that he would like to be more consistent in trying to play this year, whether it's offensively, defensively, or maybe even a combination of both?
Well, he definitely likes to push the ball, play fast. When he's had the personnel to do it, he's all into shooting a lot of threes. I don't think that part's going to change tremendously this year. But last year's team, they had one shooter. Colby Rogers was a very good three-point shooter, and that was really the only threat they had consistently from three-point range. And, of course, he drew a lot of attention because of that. I think they'll have more balance this year. They'll make some more threes, but they're not going to be carried by their three-point shooting. But he does have an athletic team. He really didn't have a true point guard last year for most of the season, and so I think they will be able to push the ball. I think they'll cut down on their turnovers, which was a big issue last year and a lot of the losses. And then defensively, I mean, they were pretty good defensively last year. They ranked in the top half of the conference in a lot of defensive categories. But I think they'll be able to pressure the ball more and take teams out of stuff a little more this year.
We're talking with Mike Kennedy, the voice of the Wichita State Shockers. It seems like this question has kind of changed over time. Typically, you would ask about key returners and newcomers, and the returning conversation would be a lot longer because you'd have most of your guys coming back. You bring in a couple new ones. It seems like in this era of college basketball, it's reversed where you don't bring back that many guys and you normally have a big list of transfers. So in terms of key returners, who might those be for Wichita State this year?
Well, honestly, and what you said is exactly correct, but actually this year it's a little more balanced than it might be some years. They do have seven guys back, and Harlan Beverly really came on at the end of the last year, a 6'5 transfer from Miami. He'll be a fifth-year senior this year. He ended up averaging over 11 per game, but late in the year, the last seven games, averaged almost 15 and improved his shooting percentage. Xavier Bell is a local kid who will also be a fifth-year senior, averaged over 11 a game last year. Ronnie DeGray was a transfer from Missouri who had some good games late in the year, certainly will, you know, get some playing time. And then Quincy Ballard, a seven-footer who came in really unskilled after a couple of years at Florida State and has just gotten better and better. He has been, from the beginning, a big-time shot blocker and defender. And he's gotten much better offensively, continues to get better. So those would be some of the key guys back. And, you know, it's a decent nucleus. With seven guys back, they're kind of at the head of the class in the American Conference. Coach Mills told me, I think there were at least four teams in the conference that had 10 guys transfer out. I think the average returning in the league was around three or four players. So Wichita State's kind of ahead of the game there.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Coach Mills didn't really have time to go out and get his guys. Now he has been able to do that. What are the kind of guys that he's brought in, and who do you expect to be first among the newcomers that can maybe step in and help the Shockers right away?
Well, one thing I think they're going to try to do, and that's going to be a little bit unique in this day and age of college basketball, is certainly use the portal and get guys to fill spots, but also try to recruit some freshmen or underclassmen. And they signed two freshmen, T.J. Williams from Wichita Heights, who was player of the year in the state. Unfortunately, he's got a little bit of a knee issue right now. He's going to miss a few weeks. Zion Pipkin is a freshman point guard from Houston who played for P.J. Cousnard, a former Wichita State standout there. And he really brings some athleticism. He's strong, quick, true point guard. And Justin Hill, who played at Longwood and then Georgia the last 2 years, also a point guard who is a really solid, experienced player. He can lead a team, but he can also score. And having a couple of point guards like that puts them way ahead of where they were last year in that category. They've added Zane Meeks, who has played at Nevada, San Francisco, and Arizona State. He's kind of a stretch four who can expand the defense. And they lost Colby Rogers, transferred to Memphis, but picked up A.J. McGinnis, a 6'3 sharpshooter who played last couple of years at Lipscomb, played against the Shockers last year and had a good game against them. And he's a 40% or near 40% three-point shooter and a good all-around player. And so those are all going to be two guys. And then Mate Bosniak is a 6'9", 240-pounder from Croatia. And he can really be a contributor inside, a piece that they really needed. But strangely, in this era where there don't seem to be any rules in college athletics, he is still awaiting approval from the NCAA to be eligible. They I think expect to get that, but they haven't yet. He's not yet eligible to play, and there's also, you know, they're not sure if he'll be ruled eligible for just this 1 year or possibly two. There is that possibility. But that's a lot of names I threw at you, but definitely they've added in all. Oh, gosh, almost forgot. Corey Washington is a 6'5 transfer from St. Peter's, where he led them in scoring and rebounding last year on an NCAA tournament team. And he is a guy with a high motor, really gets after it. He could play three or four, but he's going to add a lot to the team's offense and defense.
I'm scribbling notes as I begin my game prep for the Wichita State game. we're talking with Mike Kennedy. And by the way, boy, the Shockers, they sure have been hit hard by the ineligibility. Seems like maybe more so than other programs. It seems like that just happened to Wichita State.
You know, it. You hate to get this way.
It seems like it's happened more than once.
Like they've been picked on a little bit.
I know.
So, way back to when, Teddy had been in Nebraska, went back to West Virginia, and then transferred, and West Virginia wouldn't give him a release, and they went through that forever with the NCAA, and he ended up not playing the year he was here, went to a junior college, ended up having a great year at Nebraska.
Yeah, Teddy Allen.
Teddy Allen, yes, to end his college career. And they went through some issues with Colby Rogers' transfer before they finally got him. He had to sit out his first year here because he didn't get a release from Siena. And, you know, yeah, it's been crazy. And from what I understand, like I say, the rules seem a little vague these days, but it's my understanding there are a number of foreign recruits like Mate Bosniak all across the country waiting for go-aheads from the NCAA. So it may just be the volume of people they're considering that's dragging this out. I hope so.
I know that last year, one matter of consternation among Shocker fans and probably among the coaching staff and the team as well was the amount of turnovers. They were last in the league in turnovers. They were dead last in turnover margin by a pretty wide margin. What do you feel like the team, in terms of nucleus, in terms of change of style, and maybe just being in the system for a second year, how is that going to help Wichita State hang on and value that basketball a little bit better?
Great question, and it's interesting to mention in that conversation that the last 4 years, Paul Mills was at Oral Roberts, his teams were in the top at least 20 to 30 or 40 in the country in fewest turnovers. That's not something that's typical of his teams, but Wichita State really did not have a point guard last year. Bijan Cortez, a transfer from Oklahoma, didn't get eligible. There were some academic things coming from Oklahoma that took a while to get sorted out. And so he missed the first part of the season, first third or so of the season. And then once he started playing, took some time to adjust. And he didn't really play like he's capable of until the last handful of games. Xavier Bell played a lot at the point, but he's really more of a 2-3 type. He's not at ball handling and that sort of thing is not his strongest suit. And so that was part of it. They just really didn't have a point guard for most of the year, which, as I've said, that was something they addressed. They've got a couple of newcomers besides Bijan that should make that much better. And then Harlan Beverly had played as, you know, much his last couple of years at Miami because of injuries. Took him a while to get back in the swing of things, and he had quite a few turnovers, but really cut that down toward the end of the year as he started to get a better feel for what he could do and what would plays to make. And so I think it's just all of those things and a continued emphasis on what are smart passes, what aren't, you know, those kinds of things, trying to over-penetrate sometimes. I don't think it will be nearly as big an issue as it was last year.
Final question for you, Mike. I know that the NCAA tradition of Wichita State fans would love to get back to. Coach Mills actually addressed it yesterday, and he says, hey, we know what the expectations are here, and that's to compete for conference championships, make the NCAA tournament. So final question for you, what are the overall expectations for the program? Do they think that they can make that jump right back into the big dance this year?
Well, they are picked fourth in the conference preseason poll out of 13 teams, and it's a good conference, and so you know, at least top two, top three are probably going to have a look at getting into the NCAA tournament, in addition to the possibility of winning the conference tournament. The non-conference schedule is not super difficult, but there are enough good teams on there that certainly they're, you know, the consideration on the power rankings and so forth could be okay. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for a team coming off a 15-19 season. I don't think it's an unreal expectation that could happen. But, you know, I would say right now they wouldn't be favored to do that. But I don't think, again, it's beyond the realm of legitimate possibility this year.
Mike Kennedy, the longtime voice of the Shockers, looking forward to seeing you down there at Charles Koch Arena to tip off the season here in a couple weeks.
I got to tell you, I got to throw this in. I was just noticing all of the at least kind of small connections between Emporia State and Wichita State. Your president is someone that I got to know because his daughter, Rachel Hush, Ken Hush, his daughter Rachel, worked with my wife, Debbie, at the Wichita State Alumni Association.
Oh.
David Spafford, your AD, of course, was on the staff here in the athletic department in the early part of the 2000s. And then your head coach, Tom Billiter, worked under Scott Thompson at Rice right before Scott Thompson took the head coaching job here at Wichita State, and Coach Billiter went to his first head coaching job at North Dakota State. So there's a lot of at least loose connections between the two programs right now.
Yeah, very, very interesting. And I know that they're looking forward to getting it tipped off here in a couple of weeks. Mike, thanks. Have a great year.
All right, thank you. Always good to talk to you.
Tim and Dylan, back to you.
All right, thank you very much, Blake. Good interview there with Mike Kennedy, the voice of the Wichita State Shockers. And now we turn our attentions to the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holt is with us. Of course, Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424-226. Good morning, Mitch Holt.
Good morning, fellas. Appreciate it. Hey, Dylan.
Yeah.
Does he have a smile on his face this morning?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, he does.
Oh, good. Well, thought so, because date night last night, he read the ad.
That's right.
And
that's right. You know, as I get older, though, Mitch, it's harder to read over candlelight. My eyesight isn't quite as good as it used to be.
And then he said to her, Dylan, can I get one of those home loans? She goes, we already have a home. And then nothing else was said.
That's right.
Okay. So we'll leave it at that. Good to be Tim.
Well, Mitch, hey.
Isn't he blushing?
I am blushing
yes,
a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, he is.
Yep, you can sense okay. that. So, hey, right. Out on the bay, 49ers and Chiefs. But I guess first I'm just going to start with how the bye week went for the team.
It was actually very good. The only problem has been Mike Dana with a reoccurring calf injury. He won't play tomorrow, won't make the trip. We're getting ready to go to the plane here as soon as I hang up with you. That's the only thing, troublesome thing. Otherwise, this team is kind of rejuvenated and ready to go and ready to face this team. If people get some time today, I usually cross promotion here, find the Chiefs app or go to YouTube and just search Defending the Kingdom, because a longer and a better answer is going to be on that podcast that I do with Matt McMullen. And we jump into what I call the Tour de France. And so we're starting this next leg with the yellow jacket on, but climbing uphill to go to San Francisco. But to answer your question, if people could listen to that this morning before the ESU game or whatever they're doing, that would give a more comprehensive answer. But I would say overall, with the exception of Dana, very well.
Mitch, you know, with Mike Dana out, you know, what's big for the defense? I know there's still good pieces around, even without Dana out there.
Dylan, it's one of the secrets to our entire football team on the defensive side. People go, why are the Chiefs so good defensively? Why have they been so good against the run? And there's virtues at all three levels. But up front, to be able to rotate eight guys in the National Football League and not drop off at all is a luxury that any team would have, from ESU to Northern Heights. The Chiefs, when you get a rotation where you have Mike Pinnell, you court Karlaftis, we know what Chris can do, and Chris can play inside and outside. Felix has played good football this year. Felix Anyadike-Uzomah has actually made the progress necessary to be more than just fill-in guy on the roster. He's making impactful plays. And remember the stuff that he made on Christian McCaffrey in Super Bowl 58. Malik Herring. Turk Wharton is playing his tail off. Of all the guys I mentioned, other than Chris, Turk Wharton is next on the list. So to have that defensive rotation, again, it would be great to have Mike, because Mike can play inside and outside as well. He's a perfect Spags player. But it's not as if, oh my gosh, we don't have Mike Dana, what are we going to do? These rest of these guys have proven now over 5 weeks they all can contribute and make big plays.
Mitch, how would you analyze this 49er team? They're 3-3. Their defensive line's been turned over with the exception of Bosa. McCaffrey's hurt. Their special teams have not been especially good. And as a matter of fact, the kicking game could prove big tomorrow afternoon. The fact they're on to their, I think, their third kicker. How would you analyze this 49er team?
Wow. I'm just perplexed with these guys. First of all, the first fascinating point, Tim, is the fact that so many things can change from February. It was mid-February we played these guys in Super Bowl 58. And look at the difference in the Chiefs offensively since that game. We're relying on, these names, Kareem Hunt, Xavier Worthy, Samaje Perine, and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yep.
None of those guys played in Super Bowl 58. That same story is on the San Francisco defensive end. They lost eight guys on defense to free agency. They've got four other impact guys on defense, including Javon Hargrave and Hufanga, Talanoa Hufanga, on injured reserve. They're struggling on defense outside of Nick Bosa. Keep in mind now, of all the stuff you mentioned, it's all right there, but they also blew two double-digit leads. They blew a 14-point lead to the Rams and a 13-point lead at home to the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And they were fortunate to get a huge victory over Seattle a week ago Thursday night. Offensively, still same cast of characters. They will not have Juwan Jennings. That's big. He's been their leading receiver this year. He was the most effective player against us in the Super Bowl. At 175 game against the Rams, won't play. Still have Deebo Samuel, monster. We know what George Kittle is like. They got CMC's out, McCaffrey's out, but Jordan Mason's a stud. He's third in the league in all-purpose yards. So offensively, they have to stay on schedule. Still power there. Defensively, perplexing. And special teams is a mess. It's not just the kickers. Yes, both. They have Jake Moody kicked against us in the Super Bowl. He's hurt. They bring in Matthew Wright, who filled in for Butker for us 2 years ago. He's hurt. So they get Andres Carlson, who ironically missed a 41-yard field goal against San Francisco in the playoffs. where we would have been, maybe been playing Green Bay instead of San Francisco in Super Bowl 58. Now he's their kicker. They gave up a 97-yard kickoff return to Seattle. They had a punt blocked against Minnesota. They gave up a 68-yard punt return against the Rams, which turned that game around. So I'm giving you a long answer, but that's the 49ers. Right there on offense, defensively, what's going on, and special teams a mess.
Mitch, something Patrick Mahomes brought up this week in his press conference on Wednesday, he's treating this just like it's just any other game. And is that just kind of the biggest approach the Chiefs need to have this week? It's just as big as any other regular season game or even postseason game, no matter how banged up the 49ers are?
Well, and we're banged up too. I mean, think about what Pat thought he was going to have going into this game, and he doesn't. I think that's the approach that this Chiefs team has taken, gosh, for this whole climb since the beginning of 22, is what's right in front of you. That's why I say they're very mentally and emotionally mature. People can take that as an arrogant argument by Pat, like, well, this is just another game. Well, San Francisco's good. They're good. They're going to be probably a playoff team, maybe. Who's going to survive out of that division? But it is just another game. Where we have had an advantage is teams get out of their character and get so worked up and foamed up to beat us that they lose their mind. How does Atlanta not kick two field goals? Instead, they go for it fourth down twice inside the 10-yard line. Like, what are you guys doing? And we see it every week that teams, instead of taking care of their own business and go, okay, this is a worthy opponent in front of us, but nothing like, you know, incredibly like the earth's going to end if we lose. That's what Pat is saying here. It's being even keeled, and it's why this team is 5-0 and has won the last two Super Bowls.
And Mitch, you look at this 49er organization for the last several years; they've been, you know, certainly kings of the NFC. Yet the Chiefs are 4-0 against Kyle Shanahan coach teams. What do you think the difference is? I mean, as you analyze these two teams, what has led to the Chiefs' success against really good 49er teams?
Well, got a couple answers. One, I don't know about their organization. In some ways it looks good, but it's like some people put up a good front in front of dysfunction. How do you fire your defensive coordinator a day after the Super Bowl when they're third in the league in defense?
True.
I don't get it. And now look at them. Because they hire a new guy, I just think Shanahan's so offensive-oriented, he just keeps burning through these defensive coordinators, and now they're worse defensively. Even the guys they have back aren't playing as good as they did a year ago. The other side of this is I think the Chiefs, San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, and I don't say this as a criticism, it's just the way they play. And I've given this analogy. Dylan, were you in the band?
I was not in band, but I was in choir and theater. So, but yeah, okay, not in band. So, okay.
Jim, were you in band?
No, I was not in the band.
I don't know if Blake was or not. But think about the percussion section of the back of the band, and there's the drummer, the snare drummer, and he's got his drumstick, and he's just pounding on a single beat like 4-4 time, like bang, 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 bang. And it's a little bit like John C. Reilly and Step Brothers telling Will Ferrell, don't touch my trap set. Don't touch my drums. The Chiefs have touched the San Francisco drums. And the analogy is this. The Chiefs get San Francisco off schedule. Spags has been able to, in all three phases, in the two Super Bowl wins, and really in all four wins, get San Francisco off their grid. Like, they want to be play 15, we'll lead to play 16, which will lead to play 17. Well, the Chiefs have a template, but they're not that rigid and kind of let the game, they can adjust to the game. I'm not sure San Francisco can as much, because when you throw them off, Tim, here's my answer. You throw them off and take their drum set, Will Ferrell, or drumsticks, and chip their drumstick, they freak out. So you got to get them off schedule. You try to get ahead of them. Win on first down, maybe treat first down like third down. You do some unique blitzes, but you just put pressure on these dudes in all three phases. And they've crumbled in all four of those games that you mentioned. All four of them have been very similar.
So, Mitch, you feel like that's the key to victory for the Chiefs here tomorrow in the Bay Area?
Yeah, again, and people have to see the movie Step Brothers to get this analogy, but you take their drumsticks. I mean, and then attack in all three phases. Tim nailed it. I mean, people have not looked at special teams enough in this game, and I mean the return phase, and I mean the kicking phase, creating field position. Brock Purdy's playing good football, but somehow you have got to get him uncomfortable. And not having John Jennings is a big deal for them. Now, is this going to be a hard game? Very hard game. We're an underdog, and I can see why. It's a talented San Francisco team. We also know these guys. And, yes, we're playing them there, but we also put a 44-burger on them the last time we were there. Now, it's a matter of playing the Chiefs game, but attack in every phase, even on the early downs, and I think that's huge. But every play in the kicking game. Oh, wait a minute. Super Bowl 58, did we block a PAT? That's loom big. And did they muff a punt that turned the game around? Yeah. Let's go back to Super Bowl 54. People forget the two most forgotten plays of that game is after we scored, now we're putting pressure on him. We buried the kickoff returner at the 18. 42nd possession, Chris Jones knocks down passes. We take the lead. They freak out. We bury the kick returner at the 18. Now all of a sudden, 42nd possession, we get a two-score lead and we get a ring. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about is attack these dudes all day in all three phases on the early downs.
Well, we're looking forward to another Chiefs victory over the San Francisco 49ers tomorrow afternoon. Mitch, before we let you go, I did want to touch on a topic that's non-football related just to get your thoughts. Tony Bennett, University of Virginia basketball coach, retires yesterday, roughly 3 weeks before the season starts, and he basically talked about the state of the college game. I just want to get your comments, your thoughts about his retirement.
Every coach in every sport, including Bill Self, Chris Kleiman, Lance Leipold, and Tang, are concerned about this. Now, what I'm saying is the condition of college sports as we speak. Tony's right. I know Tony very well. Tony is as good a dude as you'll ever want to see and an excellent coach. It is unique the time that he's doing this, and I don't know if he's doing this because he wants to make a big point, but he's right. Where we're at with NIL and transfer portal, and I know a lot of fans listening to us are KU basketball fans. This could affect KU basketball as much as anyone. The more established programs, think of Alabama football, can be affected by this more than anyone because there's no regulation. There's no regulation of guys or gals who are representing these players who come to you. Let's just say ESU is Division I, and they've got an NIL collective, and Dylan's your star player. Well, Dylan's represented by Fred, his cousin from, I don't know, Hartford. And Fred's going, hey, we got to have 250. I got to have 250 grand or we're not playing with you. And by the way, I get 50 grand of the 250. Mm-hmm. It behooves that person who's representing Dylan in this case to keep the pot stirred. I'm going to keep calling people because I'm going to get paid every time he goes someplace. There's no regulation of agents. There's no salary cap. There's no collective bargaining agreement. There's no structure to it. It's an unsustainable model, Tim. It will crash and burn. And it will take down every great program with all of the other programs. Don't think any program is insulated from a problem here. So until this gets done, and it better get done soon, to sit down and figure out how this is going to work, should players get paid? I'm not against that. I'm also for putting it in an escrow. At the end of the week, they get their college degree, they can get this escrowed money that is accrued to them. But not now, and don't let me go shop around because Cuz is working the deals with all these schools. It doesn't stop. And so it's what I told the K-State football team. I got something from West Point Wrestling I should send to you guys that talks about the programs with stability, the ones that doesn't like lose 10 guys every year, are the ones that are going to win in this culture. It won't be the ones where I go buy everybody because especially in football, you can't do it that way. It just doesn't work. So I'm listening to Tony Bennett. You ask, I'm all for getting players paid. I'm all for the 21st century. Let's figure this out. But an unsustainable, you cannot build stability on instability. Ask any engineer. This thing will be more of a mess than it already is unless somebody gets something done in a hurry.
Yeah, good comments, Mitch. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Good. Well, Mitch, again, thanks for your time. As always, have a great trip to the Bay. We look forward to another Chiefs win to get to 6-0.
You got it, brother. And, hey, Dylan, look out the window. Is that Tim's wife's out in the car?
I don't know.
We're actually going to breakfast this morning. So.
Yeah. Take the ad with you.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, good man. Good man. All right, guys.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it. All right. Mitch Holtis, of course, his appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS, number 424-226. And just as we wrap things up here, Dylan, just an idea of what the schedule looks like today. Of course, KU football here on KVOE AM. Jayhawks in dire need of a win. They take on the Houston Cougars today. 1 o'clock pregame, 2:30 kick. K-State on the road. They play at West Virginia. They will kick at 6:30, 4:30 pregame on Country 101.7 FM. Mm-hmm. And then also here on the AM, the biggest game in college football today, Georgia and Texas. And we'll have that game for you tonight, 6:30 here on KVOE AM. Of course, Chiefs tomorrow, 2 o'clock pregame, 3:25 kick from San Francisco, Chiefs and Niners. And that is on, of course, Country 101.7 FM. So that will wrap things up for this Saturday morning. Our thanks to our guest, Mike Robinson, Mike Kennedy, Mitch Holtis. Thanks to Dylan Sherwood. I'm Tim Miller. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Digging in against this number one red zone defense, giving off to Kareem Hunt, following his blockers, he's into the end zone! Touchdown, Kansas City!